going to go to the Pacific.
Yeah, ready to go to the Pacific when the war ended, and because the Army had, you got, I guess, air medals and different things because of the number of missions you had, and they counted them as points, and depending on the battles, and I guess we were in the Battle of the Bulls, and the Battle of this, and also we had a lot of ribbons and air, I don't know, clusters, air medal with clusters and things like that. So I got out right away. And at that time, I still was thinking about going back to med school and inquired, well, it was, school had just begun. And I guess that at that point, they really, because of during the war, they had really put a lot of doctors through. They were not anxious, and I got indications of, well, if I would pay $10,000, well, that, when you all you had to do was say that to me, like, tough off. You know, that was University of Pennsylvania, that's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And my father-in-law had two daughters. His other older daughter, who, as a matter of fact, Ruth had just visited us going back today, husband had his own business, and a very, very good one. He wasn't interested in my father-in-law's business, and my father-in-law had two girls and no sons. He just wanted me about business. And I said, okay, I'll try it for a year, and I'll see. And I'll tell you, it was the best decision I ever made.
What was that? Where? What business and where?
Well, it's a linen supply business, mm-hmm. right here in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And we started in... we have that plant still in is still working. It's our other plant in Point Breeze. It's a hospital plant, just does hospital work. And we started there, and we didn't have one customer in Pittsburgh. And I had a little old 1936 Chevrolet with a rumble seat, and I used to go out in the morning and saw, and then I'd come back in the afternoon and do the work, make up the orders. We had a laundry preparing it and wheeling, and I'd get the merchandise and make up the orders until I got enough to hire my first truck driver, and then I hired a salesman. And in those days, it was much easier than it is today because my father-in-law had many years in the business and was very well respected. And merchandise was extremely difficult to get right after the war. You couldn't get that, but he was able to get almost everything. My brother-in-law was in that business, and he helped. So that I could take accounts where no one else could get them, because I could supply them with the sheets and the pillowcases and the towels and the uniforms, mm-hmm. and we had them, and the business grew quite quickly. And
you were working, you were selling laundry work.
Yeah. Linen rental. We would
linen rental.
We served restaurants, doctors, hospitals, hotels. Mm-hmm. And we rent the linen. You go to a barber shop, if he has cloth towels and puts them around your neck, he rents them from a company.
What was the name of that company?
Clean Linen Service.
Clean Linen Service.
We've changed it to Clean Textile Systems now, but... I don't know, I just like the business. It's the only business I know that offers you such an extreme range of activities that could require full-time, you're full-time. If you're interested in selling, it's the hardest selling there is in the world, because once you sell a customer, you're through with them, you turn them over to the service department, you have to go get a brand new customer. Not like in most selling, it becomes your customer, you go back to the same people and develop a relationship. But in this business, you have to develop new customers every day. Our laundries are very automated today, all black boxes, automatic folding equipment, feeding equipment, and require a good engineering department to maintain and run. Production is very important, and how we get all this dirty linen in, and you have to wash it and prepare it so that you keep all the different machines busy all day and all the people working in the right order. And that requires great skill. Our delivery system next to United Parcel is the most complicated there is in the world. We deliver customers, our hospital plant works 7 days a week. We deliver 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, once every other week, once every 4 weeks. we have one-way streets, the barber shops are closed on Monday, the bars are closed this day, you can't make doctors on Wednesday, and you have to arrange all these routes to meet all these restrictions in the most efficient way, and it requires the skill of people that watch this, because we get new customers and lose customers every week.
Let me ask this. So, what was your relationship with the Starks?
With the Starks?
Yeah.
Friendly competitors. As a matter of fact, we bought most of their business out as they went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Stark, who is a very good friend of mine, lives right beneath me on Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the same apartment. His wife, Alba, unfortunately, is having some problem with her eyes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the old man and the business you had with him.
The old man was a character, if there ever was a character.
Yes. What was his name?
Sidney.
Sidney Stark.
Yeah. This Jets Jr. He has a Sidney Jr.
Right.
He was an atheist, a socialist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was willing to give away everything as long as it wasn't his.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, he was indicted for income tax evasion and got off and got a suspended sentence or something, but I think that really hurt him. It wasn't long after that he died of that heart attack on the plane. Smoked big black cigars. And they're friendly. You know, an egotistical maniac, really, but I always got a kick out of him. I like people. I laugh at them. He didn't intimidate me, but he tried to intimidate. Unfortunately, he was of a group of people, Jewish Jews in this city, that really restricted the growth of our communal activities. These were people who were, he was very active and did a lot of great things, but wouldn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're ahead of something and you have young people coming up,
mm-hmm.
they're willing to wait so long. At a certain point, they say, hey, I want part of the action. And they're entitled to it. But these guys wouldn't give up. That's why their home was in the condition it's in. But,
mm-hmm. You're speaking of the Riverview?
Well, they call it Riverview now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jewish Home and Hospital for
yeah,
Aging.
Right.
I'm familiar. We serve a lot of these homes. And I know homes that have the same proportion of care costs that they get from the state who manage and don't lose any money. Our home gets close to $500,000 from the Federation, $500,000 from the United Way, and loses $500,000. Come on. It's poorly run, poorly managed. Now they have a fellow who I understand my son said is really on the ball, and I think maybe they can turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
I have some serious doubts as to whether we really need a home, but we're going to have one. As I said, actually, their business was different than ours. They were strictly in the uniform business, industrial uniforms, the same as Herman Feinberg. Herman Feinberg and he were really competitors.
Mm-hmm.
We were only fringe competitors.
Mm-hmm. To get back to your marriage, how about when you set up your house, where did you settle?
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Well, when we first got here, we had an attorney for our a business association, Joseph Rubenstein, nicknamed Judy, who's still, I believe, living in Florida today. And he owned a lot of real estate, and he got us an apartment in Tudor Hall on Center Avenue. Little one-room efficiency. I can remember one funny incident. In Philadelphia, if you invite people to your house, they're usually there by 8 and leave by 10:30, you know. My wife, we met a few people through the temple that we joined.
And which was?
Word of Shalom. My wife I probably would not have joined so quickly, but that was, my wife felt that was very important, and it was a wise, she was very wise. And we had met a few people, and so she invited three couples, I believe, for dinner at our apartment when we had it fixed up. It was a one-room efficiency where we had a little breakfast room. And 8 o'clock came, and 8:15 came, 8:30 came, 8:45. And my wife says, "I guess they got the wrong today. What should we do?" So she started to clean up, put everything away, and we got undressed. 9:15, the doorbell rings. First coming. And we learned that the Pittsburghers take naps after when they come home from work and then would go out late like that. That was far into our way of life. It wasn't true in Philadelphia, it wasn't true in New York. Yeah, if you went to work the next day, if you went to somebody's house during the week, you went at a reasonable hour and you left at a reasonable hour. But we learned after that. We met some nice people, mostly through the temple, and became good friends. Mm. You know, it just grows from that. My wife is an extremely capable, warm person and has many friends, many more than I ever would. I would have a few good friends. Her circle is too big. Now, unfortunately, you know, time goes that we rarely go out that we don't take one or two widows with us for dinner or to the movies. And I certainly am happy to do it. I don't mind. And they're really nice, but it's what's happened over the years, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We had our first child in 1946, he was born in October, and we had been married July the year before, so you're talking about a year and a few months.
We won't count.
You can count. You can count.
What was his name, David?
I wasn't here. I was overseas. I could not have done anything.
There was William, Richard, and Douglas.
Yes, William.
This was William?
William, yeah. Born in October 1946. Named after my mother's dad, whose name was Wolf, but they all called him William, I guess. Wolf is, William is really German.
Wolf is a term, Yiddish, very common Yiddish. Wolfie.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, sure. It was a very common. It wasn't, today it's not, but in those days it was.
Yeah, I have a relative named Wolf, first name. Mm-hmm. You lived on Center Avenue.
Then when we had Bill, we found a place on McPherson, which was a two-bedroom apartment, and we stayed there for a while, and then we moved by 1949 to Stanton Heights, and we rented an apartment there. It was Millermont, I think. It was the old Stanton Heights golf course, and they took part of it and they built the houses. And then after a year or so, I got together with a couple of friends I knew, and we bought some land on the other side of Stanton Avenue, and we built three homes, modern homes, there in 1950, and moved in.
With Abrams, by any chance?
Jerry Marcus and Sidney Fisher.
Oh. In the concrete business, but he also built some apartments. Okay, apparently it wasn't with him.
No.
With Fisher, you did it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man by the name of Peter Fisher, mm-hmm. Fischer. It was an old German guy.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to give me the birth dates of your two other children, Richard and Douglas?
All right, Richard is March 22nd, 1949. Mm-hmm. Let me get them to make sure.
I have the same problem.
It's supposed to go back. We do it later. That's okay.
Woody, April 15th, 1952. And Carol, July 9th. See, she's going to be 39 this July, so that means she was born 55, I guess, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was your religious practices in your home?
In our home, as our kids were growing up. My wife feels very strongly that you should practice what you preach, and whatever strengths you feel in Judaism and things that you do, that's you do at home and you practice it, you keep it. She feels very strongly about people that send their children to real religious schools and then don't practice any of these things at home. And she feels this is terrible, that it just doesn't give the children the right perspective at all. So our home, as we always had Sabbath Friday nights, all the Jewish holidays, we had seders with the whole family and my in-laws, and we all the things that should be done in the home to reinforce the religion were always done in the right way. And we went, as the years went by, I became a little more active in the temple, and I was in junior congregation. I was the vice president of junior congregation. I was the vice president of the senior board, served on the board for many years, and went to temple fairly regularly on Saturdays, Friday nights, and took the children.
Was this at Rosh Hashanah?
Well, all at Rosh Hashanah, yeah. So, and I found, you know, and I do have problems with some of the rituals of Orthodoxy, and I have no problems. I like the services. I enjoy the services at Rosh Hashanah. I find them inspiring and good. I fast on Yom Kippur. My wife fasts. I spend the whole day there. I don't go home. I take a walk when there's a break. And Rabbi Freehoff used to give us little lectures in the afternoon. I was always there. And that's, you know, I feel strongly about Judaism. I happen to think that we're the conscience. You don't want to get involved in this, but I feel that Judaism is really the conscience of the Western world. And that's one of the reasons that the Jews have had problems and anti-Semitism exists, because people really don't like their consciences, and we have always been there to tell them that really were the right thing to do. And we are probably the only, that I'm aware of, practicing religion that dictates your daily life, how you should act in a social world. And if you really understand Judaism, all the other things are meaningless if you're not a good person. And don't do good. Do mitzvahs like you're supposed to do. And the mitzvahs are things that make it easier for you to live with your fellow man in a good way, in a productive way, not a destructive way. And I don't know any other religion that teaches that. And if I were to choose a religion today and I just studied them, I would choose Judaism. Because it doesn't smother you the way some religions do. You have freedom. You can believe, you can act, and well, as you know, in Judaism, there is no heaven or hell. Really, we don't believe in a hereafter. Your hereafter is on earth. You plant the tree so that your grandchildren will enjoy the fruits of it. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish I could find a preacher in town who could do as well as you just did. Wonderful. Very good.
This is a job for a Jewish boy. Well, you pretty much told us about your family customs and your traditions. I kind of hate to get started on.
I just came back from England. I went to Wimbledon. I had wanted to go for many years. I had a free airline ticket and I had a free hotel because my daughter lives there. So I said, "Oh, I'm going to go this year," and I went. And my daughter has four children. She's very active in the West End Synagogue in New York, which is a liberal synagogue, mm-hmm. but not reformed like ours are. And I was there, of course, Friday evening, and all four of them, she has twins who are 7 years old, little girls, lit the candles and said the prayers, and then the four-year-old knew the baruchas. They did the bread and the wine, and even the two-year-olds, they sing a song, bim bam bim, bim bam, they go like this, and all he knows, all the hand motions, and he says the words and all. So, you know, it made me happy to see that she was carrying on these traditions, and she feels very strongly about it, too.
Do you remember the rabbi's name? The West End Synagogue?
I don't know his name. I think she did mention it, but
that's
I'm not...
It's a very famous synagogue in...
Yes, it is. And she said it's terrible. She teaches. Uh-huh. She complained a couple years ago. She felt that the kids weren't getting anything out of Sunday school, and the rabbi said, if I could get good teachers, they would get... I can't find anyone. She says, well, what do I have to do? He says, you have to go to school for a year. So she went to school for a year, and then she's teaching Sunday school there. Mm-hmm. And...
What's her name?
Carol. But I'm happy to see that. My sons sporadically do it. You know, some of the kids. But like Friday night, I eat one of my sons in town every Friday night if we're here. My daughter-in-law in California lights candles Friday night, and the kids, her two daughters, say the prayers, so she does that. My son William's two children go to the JCC day school, so they know all the holidays, and they learn the things. So he's thinking of sending the older boy to community day school next year. I don't know where he will. Mm-hmm. So I think my family is Jewish. That has always pleased me. I happen to be, as I told you, I like Judaism. I think it's a great religion, and I feel very strongly about Israel, as I guess we'll get into in later sessions.
Yeah. Okay, let's call it a quit.